अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नाम आचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। श्रीमद् भगवद गीता क्लास की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण। All glorious to assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glorious to assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glorious to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 8th चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद गीता एंड इट इज एंटाइटल्ड अटेनिंग द सुप्रीम। नाउ फॉर दोज हु हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू आर कमिंग टू द टेंपल फॉर द फर्स्ट टाइम, welcome to ISKCON Boston and welcome to this Wednesday Feast program. So every Wednesday we have this flow of the Bhagavad Gita class where there's one verse taken every week, and now in our discussion we're going to have two verses today. It's going to be chapter 8, text 8 and 9. Since the Wednesday class is just for 30 minutes and we always need more, so therefore I just read one of those verses and then we'll discuss the essence of the discussion. अभ्यास योग युक्तेन चेतसा नान्यगामिना परमं पुरुषं दिव्यं याति पार्थानुचिन्तयन्। Let's take the word by word translation. अभ्यास योग by practice, युक्तेन being engaged in meditation, chetasa by the mind and intelligence, na anyagamina without their being deviated, paramam the supreme, purusham personality of Godhead, divyam transcendental, yati one achieves, partha, O son of Pritha, anuchintayan, constantly thinking of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. Let's see what Prabhupada adds in the purport. In this verse, Lord Krishna stresses the importance of remembering him. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. By this practice of chanting and hearing the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue, and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord. Purusham means enjoyer. All the living entities belong to the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. They are in material contamination. They think themselves as enjoyers, but they are not the Supreme Enjoyer. Here it is clearly stated that the Supreme Enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different manifestations and plenary expansions as Narayana, Vasudeva, etc. The devotee can constantly think of the object of worship, the Supreme Lord, in any of his features, namely Narayana, Krishna, Rama, etc., by chanting Hare Krishna. This practice will purify him, and at the end of his life, due to his constant chanting, he will be transferred to the kingdom of God. Yoga practice is meditation on the super soul within. Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, one fixes his mind always on the Supreme Lord. The mind is fickle, and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of the caterpillar, that thinks of becoming a butterfly And so it's transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives, we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yan Pravrijanta Manupetam Apeta Krityam Dvaipayano virahakatara ajuhava putreti tanmayataya taravo binetu tam sarva bhutaridayam munimanatosmi. Hare Krishna. Are you also coming to the temple for the first time?
Yeah.
Wonderful. How about you? You've come before?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't get scared. I'm just asking so that you know, you can base the class on the basis of seeing how many people are coming here for the first time. All right. It seems like we have a majority of them who are already devotees, who are regularly coming here to the temple. So, we'll be making a couple of points on whatever we read here in the Bhagavad Gita. If those who are coming to the temple for the first time have any questions or confusions at the end of the discussion, if time permits, we could take questions and answers. And it's also open for devotees, but I'm pretty sure it won't trouble you as much as them. So this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is entitled as Attaining the Supreme. Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters and covers around 700 verses. It's a discussion between two personalities, Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, the supreme Lord. And Arjuna, in this discussion, is Krishna's friend, Krishna's student, and also Krishna's devotee. Three roles. What is the scenario behind this whole discussion? Why is this discussion taking place? Or first of all, where is it taking place? It's taking place on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. This is a battlefield. It's called as Dharma Yuddha, or the battlefield for justice, the battle for justice. And we have this personality called Arjuna, who's perplexed, who's confused, who's supposed to fight, is all set to fight, has all his weapons ready to fight, comes to the battlefield, checks his opponents, and then decides not to fight. On the opponent's side, he sees his own relatives, he sees his own teacher. The teacher who actually taught him how to hold the bow and arrow is actually standing on the opponent's side. Grandfather Bhishma, all the seniors, the elderly citizens of the family, they're all on the other side. And Arjuna, who was so confident in winning this battle, not just fighting it, but winning it, now is so confused. The bow which he could hold with so much of confidence, and he was known for his accuracy, he was known for his skill, he was known for his fighting ability, and now he is overwhelmed by compassion. He starts telling Krishna different reasons why I don't want to fight. He gives excuses saying that I don't want to fight, Krishna. This doesn't seem to be proper to me. And then Krishna starts speaking the Bhagavad Gita. Now we might ask a question. Well, I work for an IT company and what have I to do with this discussion? I'm a student and what do I have to do with this discussion? The relevance is, any spiritual conversation like this one, where is it held? In a temple. You find that the yogis in India, they have all their mystic classes and sessions in the caves of the mountains. In surroundings which are very calm, very serene, very peaceful. And that's the place where you actually meditate. And here is Krishna speaking the highest spiritual truth on a battlefield. It's so noisy. It's clumsy. It's fierce. It's intense. It's filled with emotions and feelings. You either go out victorious or you end up dying. And Krishna uses this battlefield to teach the highest principle in life. Why? Because all of us have our own battlefields in life. Not necessarily the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but we all fight battlefields. Yes, there are battles. You're a student, you're in a sphere of battle. You're a corporate professional, you're in your own Kurukshetra. You're a housewife, you're in a bigger Kurukshetra. You're in a Kurukshetra where nobody considers you to be working at all. Well, you're working the most. Yes? So Krishna is speaking all these truths and speaking all these principles on the battlefield just to inspire us of the fact that when you are fighting your battle in life, this is how you can use these principles. The principles that helped Arjuna to win his battle are the same principles which are going to help you win your battle. Battles might be different. Problems might be different, but the solutions are still the same. Why? And how? Because there's one fundamental reason to all the problems in life. Any guesses? Uncontrolled mind. If you have a controlled mind, you can be... How many of you have been to Gangotri? Gangotri in India. It's so cold. There was one devotee who told me that I'm going to go there and chant my Gayatri, submerged in water. Trust me, that was the fastest Gayatri he would have chanted in his life. Freezing cold. If you have a controlled mind, you could sit there, submerged onto your neck, and still be undisturbed. But if you have a controlled mind. If you have an uncontrolled mind, you could stay in Beverly Hills and still commit suicide. So many examples. So many examples of people who had wealth, multi-billionaires, they had luxuries, they had big, big cars, they had name and fame, they had prestige, they had everything. Uncontrolled mind committed suicide. Not just committed suicide. Even if they live all their life, they live it as if they're dead. This is the problem. And to that ever-fresh problem, ever-existing problem, everlasting problem, the problem that has troubled everyone from time immemorial in all spheres of life, is what is being solved in this verse. Do you want to hear it? Krishna says that mind is like the knife. Yes? Is the knife good or bad? If I show you a knife, a kitchen knife, is it good or bad? It's good? Good. Wonderful. Somebody said something here. Wonderful. We are expecting some good vegetables at the end, Mataji. Right. Most of us are, you're honest. So the knife actually is both good and bad, depending on its utility. If you use it, if it's in the hand of a surgeon who's in the middle of an operation, or if it's in the hand of an expert cook, yummy dishes. Yes, it's good. Now think of the same knife in the hand of a serial killer. It's going to butcher things down. Yes? So it depends on the utility. So is the mind good or bad? It's like the knife. Krishna says if you control the mind, it's your best friend. And if you leave it uncontrolled or unbridled, trust me, it can choke you within. You can have everything outside, but you're crying within. Frustration, irritation, anger, lust, pride, envy, jealousy, fault-finding mentality. But if you're free from all of that, even if you just have one meal a day, you're so peaceful. You see the positive side in life. The nature of the mind is attachment. We as spirit souls have only one nature. We have three natures, but one prominent nature, that of seeking happiness. How many of us really seek happiness? All of us do, right? Is everyone else self-satisfied? Everybody seeking happiness? He is honest. How about the others? You're self-satisfied? Yes. So at least for myself, and as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, at every second, we are seeking satisfaction. But the means of getting that satisfaction is what gives us pain. We look for things. We associate happiness with things. If I have a big car, I'm happy. Think about the next day when your neighbor gets the same brand, the same color of car, and parks it next to yours. Are you happy? Short-lived. You get a new iPhone. Wow, you're happy. You don't sleep overnight. You're going to download all your apps and you're going to see all the utilities in that. Wait for a month. It falls down to the ground. Who cares? That's the nature. Mind jumps from one thing to the other. And before getting it, it hankers for it. I want it. I want it. I want it. When you get it, it's afraid to lose it. And when it loses, it laments because it lost it. So it's always miserable. The reason is because we focus our mind to give us happiness on those things which are temporary, material, and fleeting. They're never constant. Think of reading a book in a constantly moving bus. Dhanyavaad. Hare Krishna. Think about reading a book in a moving bus. What happens to you? You're moving like, so you're into one of those trains. You're moving a, if you're reading a book in a moving vehicle. What happens? Are you feeling very happy? It's not very comfortable. Because you're trying to focus on something that's unsteady. And here Krishna gives the policy, this solution, that stop expecting happiness from things which are temporary. If you really want to seek that happiness, focus that mind which is seeking attachment onto me. Just get attached to me. Not me, but Krishna. Krishna says, get attached to me. And if you get attached to me, Krishna says, you will seek happiness. How would you seek happiness if you keep your mind on Krishna? Because you're focusing on your mind on something that never changes. Krishna being God forever. You being eternal forever. You being his eternal servant forever. Never changes. And Krishna is an embodiment of bliss, of beauty, and wisdom. How do we focus our mind on Krishna? Prabhupada writes in the purport, by hearing and chanting about him. Think about falling in love with somebody in this material world. You look at that person, you get attracted to that person, you hear about that person, you talk to that person, and the mind naturally starts liking that person. So if you actually want to get attached to Krishna, you have to start seeing Krishna, start hearing about Krishna, and start reciprocating with Krishna. How do you do that? When you come to the temple, that's the complete aim of this temple. Srila Prabhupada, he established over 108 temples with the only mission that devotees can come together and hear the messages from the scripture. Chant about Krishna. When you chant the names of Krishna, when you hear about Krishna, you feel so peaceful. So peaceful. There was a time when we were discussing about Krishna, and one devotee said, who later became a devotee, one person said that, oh, when you hear about Krishna, you feel so blissful. He was saying that from the core of his heart, and we were so happy to hear that. It's practical. When you hear about somebody else in this world, how long are you happy? You're going to be happy for some time, and then it just fades away. But you hear about Krishna, and you're ever fresh, you're always happy, blissful. So the process of controlling the mind is by attaching one's mind to Krishna. And Krishna actually talks about this at different places in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Tani sarvani samyamya, 261 Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, stop searching for happiness in this world and just think of me. You will get happiness. Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagramam yata jnasasita chruno. 7.1 Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, think about me and you'll get peace. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam yatva mam shantim ruchati. 5.29. Krishna says, think of me, you'll get peace. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatenantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samayukta tamo mataha. 6.47. Krishna says, think of me, you'll get peace. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te pratijani prayoshime. 1865. Krishna says, think of me, you will get peace. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayana. 934. Krishna says, think of me, you will get peace. These are different references in the Bhagavad Gita so that you can go and see for yourself. We are not making things up here. We are just re-quoting what Krishna has quoted in different places. This process of chanting and hearing is so powerful. Very, very powerful. We have two principal scriptures. One is called as the Bhagavad Gita, which talks about the messages of Krishna. And one is called as Srimad Bhagavatam, which is about the glories of Krishna. And hearing about Krishna means both these things. Hearing about him from the Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing what he has said in the Bhagavad Gita. The process of meditation in the previous ages was so difficult. So difficult. In the first age, out of the four cycles, to meditate, you had to go into the forest. One-pointed contemplative meditation for 60,000 years. It's very difficult. For us to meditate sitting on a couch in an AC room is difficult. Think about sitting in the middle of a forest when you're meditating and you could have a tiger standing next to you, or you could have a snake slithering on your lap. You still meditate. Very difficult. We get distracted by the sound of a mosquito. You're meditating and that's all. And we still think we are so great. Sometimes we do little things and we think we are so big, and it just needs one mosquito bite to teach us how great we are. One mosquito bite and you are into the intensive care unit. That's how great we are. So this process of contemplative meditation wouldn't work for us. Then at the next age, you had to perform all the austerities, you had to perform sacrifices, you had to do penances, you had to do charity. Who has so much of time? We're all working. We're all different spheres of life. So therefore, in this age of Kali Yuga, you find that whichever faith you're following, the principal backbone practice of meditation is chanting the names of God. There's one God. There are no different gods. There's no one Hindu God, Muslim God, Christian God. There's one God. And God is like the sun. There is no American sun. There is no Russian sun. Sun is sun. Rises in different countries. Yes? So there's one God whom all these different streams of faith are trying to approach. And the fundamental underlining thread of achieving him through the process of meditation is chanting his holy names. Because it is so simple, it's so sublime, and less time consuming. Imagine you're walking down the street, you can meditate in the forest, you can perform austerity at that point. What's the austerity you're going to do when you're walking down a lane? But you can still chant the names of God. It's so simple. There are no hard and fast rules. It's not that you have to chant it aloud, you have to chant it within the mind. There are no hard and fast rules. There's no time constraint. There is no consideration of time, place. There is no disqualification. Anyone from any country, in any caste, creed, nationality, any race, male, female, rich, poor, literate, illiterate, aristocratic birth or a roadside beggar, everybody is welcome with open arms to this process of meditation, of chanting the holy names. We have this big cloth here that actually reads these 16 names. This is called as the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra in Sanskrit means the greatest deliverer of everyone. So wherever we are, whatever we do, if we simply dovetail and sprinkle this principle of regularly, attentively, devotionally, with feeling and attachment, chant these names, then what happens? The mind gets attached to Krishna. Then what happens? You achieve peace. So let's chant this Maha Mantra aloud, everyone, in unison, and let's see how it feels. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So those who are already chanting, I encourage you to keep chanting and chant more, and encourage others to chant. There's no cost for this. Trust me, we don't charge you a penny for chanting this. This is not our chant. This is everyone's chant. This is not an ISKCON chant. This is a world chant. This is a world chant for peace. Let's stop fighting for countries. Let's start fighting for this planet. For this whole planet, for this whole cosmic creation, as the greatest deliverer, we have one chant. Doesn't matter which faith we follow. Doesn't matter where we come from. If we can simply embrace this principle of lovingly chanting the names of God, we will achieve peace. So that's exactly what Krishna is saying here. So now I'll read the translation once more, and I hope it's clear. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, O son of Pritha, O Parth, is that person is sure to reach me, which means he will achieve peace. So we have maybe a couple of minutes or maybe a minute. If there are any questions or comments, feel free. It is said we have no questions under two circumstances. One, we understood everything. Second, we didn't understand anything. So which one of that is that?
Everything.
How do you go? All right. Thank you so much for spending your time here and giving your valuable time at this temple on this Wednesday evening. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.